This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Songs with. Songs with.
Ones we can depend on.
Songs with.
How many of us have them?
Songs with.
Before we go any further.
Songs with.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to Songs with Friends, episode 25, here on the Place to Be Nation pop feed. My name is Steve Williams, and joining me once again is Kelly. Kelly, how are you tonight?
I'm good, how are you?
You know, I'm good. The listeners may notice a pitter-patter around this room. My dog is very restless right now, and he is just toes a-tapping on my fake-ass hardwood floor I have here. So please forgive me for the background noise. I'm doing my best here, guys. It's a one-man operation.
We're used to Hugo. My dogs are just sleeping over here, so.
Nope, he is right here next to me, occasionally putting his face directly in the microphone. So we'll see how it goes.
Pay attention to me.
That's it. Now, if you're new here on Songs with Friends, here's what we do, kids. We break down song lyrics, we decide if there's a narrative to be told, or sometimes we just embrace the fuckery. Kelly's song this week is from the 2011 album, The Carter Four. This is Lil Wayne, How to Love. Now, for those of you at home who may know anything at all about either one of us, you would have got the poll incorrect in who was the first to pick Lil Wayne. Kelly, why Lil Wayne?
Why Lil Wayne? I'm going to say I don't know a lot about Lil Wayne. I'm not going to act like I do. But I heard this song one time and I was really fascinated that he was just singing, like, instead of rapping. You know what I mean? And it just caught my attention. And I don't even know if it's on the radio or I can't even remember. 2011. I felt like it was longer than that when I had heard it, but I guess not. But I just thought it was interesting that he was actually singing. And then I'm a big fan of, you know, people just trying to sing. And there's not a lot more to the song besides that. And I watched the video and read the lyrics and I kind of think it's a cool message. So.
If there's anything Lil Wayne is known for, it's cool messages.
No, I don't know if it cools. Cool is maybe not the right word, but it was like, I don't even know. I'm going to sound so bad. Sometimes, you know, some music I can't relate to or whatever. They're talking about things I'm not into, and I listen to this. There's some things of this I can't relate to, but I feel like he was trying to send a positive message in this song. You're probably not going to agree with me on this, but had you heard this song?
No.
I've really been fumbling, worrying about trying to explain why I picked this song because I just don't have a good reason. But anyways, I didn't think you would probably have heard it when I said it. So
no, I have a hard and unfair rule about rappers that if you have a little or baby or anything like that as the start of your name, I'm just not even going to give you a chance.
Oh, okay.
Because Lil Wayne actually hit around the same time as Lil Bow Wow. And I'm like, no, fuck this. Like, these are children. I am not listening to any of this stuff.
I don't think Lil Wayne is a child.
No, he's like my age. And I would.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think he's older. Yeah.
But okay. That would have made us both about 17 the first time I heard him.
Okay.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm not tolerating this horse shit.
Yeah.
But then I got really into the Carter Three, I think it was, thanks to the fine folks at LimeWire.
Oh my!
Not protecting.
So is there actually a Carter like 1, 2, 3, 4?
Yeah, it's a series.
Okay. I have no idea. So.
And in the Carter Three, he hit with the line, "She said I was so sweet that she wants to lick the wrapper, so I let her lick the wrapper."
Okay.
So yeah, he's known for positive messages.
This is, that's hilarious. I don't know that positive message was the word I was looking for. I have had a couple drinks, but I think I don't know what word I'm looking for.
Hey, we're going with positive after school special messages now. That is part of Songs for Friends canon.
This one is for the middle schoolers. No, I'm just kidding.
Lil Wayne, known conscience of the streets.
Oh, my goodness.
So get us started on these lyrics, Kelly.
Okay. Oh, man. Okay, so we got started. So, and some of this is weird to me. I'm interested to hear what you say. But anyway, so you got, he starts out with, you had a lot of crooks trying to steal your heart, never really had luck, couldn't ever figure out how to love. And this is how to love again. And so somehow in here, I'll tie in the video, I guess, of how I think it helps with this song. But I don't know. I just think it's like a lot of people, especially when you're a girl, like, well, I'm going to only speak as being a woman. But when you're growing up and like, you know, you're getting attention from men, and sometimes, you know, some people that will do what it takes to get attention, even if it's negative. And I just kind of feel like maybe, and if you don't really know, like, I feel like for me, I was very lucky because I like grew up in a home of two parents that like loved each other and were happy. So I feel like I had a good example of that in my home. But I know a lot of people to this day that still don't really understand like having a good love or what it's like to have a healthy relationship. And so that's what I got there. What you got?
That's fair as far as messaging goes. This opening part here is part of why I never really messed with Lil Wayne as a rapper, was you had a lot of crooks trying to steal your heart, never really had luck, could never figure out. He rhymed heart and out. Like, what?
You're so picky.
Excuse me for wanting rhymes to rhyme.
So, yeah. So you got nothing else to add.
No, you're right. And the video did make this a lot more tolerable.
Yeah.
The video did a much better job painting the picture of what he was trying to accomplish here than I think that some of these lyrics did.
Yeah. Well, and I guess we could just talk about, or what your interpretation on the video. I mean, I just, you know, because I guess for anyone that hasn't seen it, I just thought it was interesting that it kind of starts with, it's like this lady's going to get an abortion and then she doesn't. It kind of shows her life of like being with bad men and assuming, I don't know, you know, just that she's taking her daughter visiting guys in jail. You know, then it shows her daughter growing up, and there's situations where it's like her daughter's being, I don't want to, you know, it appears to be like molested by these men that her mom has in her home. And then she's a stripper, turns to drugs. And it's a little bit of an extreme scenario, but that she, you know, then her daughter's living this same type of life. And then she's like HIV positive. That part of the video kind of threw me off. But then it, you know, it does this rewind, right, into like the mom making a better environment for her daughter. And, you know, that in the end, it's, you know, her daughter turns out better for it, I guess. Do you have a better way or anything to add?
No, my favorite part of that was when she's the bad girl, you know, she's sitting on the steps, just by taps her on the head for attention, and she's, you know, just going with it. But then in the good girl version, the second half, the guy taps her on the shoulder, and not only is she loving the attention, but she's wearing glasses, so you know she's smart now.
Yes. You would notice that. I didn't even notice that. Well, oh, yeah, she should have had those glasses on no matter what. You're horrible.
Exactly. That's the real indicator here. She could have made all the bad choices, but if she had the glasses on.
Yes, then the eyeglasses.
She would have got accepted into Harvard, and this whole thing would have been different.
It's all life-changing. Okay, so we'll get back to the lyrics then. You can reference the video again if you want. Okay, so then he had, you had a lot of moments that didn't last forever. Now you're in the corner trying to put it together. And then how to love. I don't know that he was trying to really make this a rap song, by the way. Do you think?
He's barely making it a song. Stop
it. I don't know. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so in this part, I mean, I guess, you know, it's the same deal. It's like a lot of, she's just, I don't know, you're in a, maybe like she's in a lot of temporary situations, nothing stable. So it's hard for her to kind of, you know, get her life together, I guess. What do you got?
Yeah, having a lot of moments that didn't last forever. To me, this is very obviously a lyric about promiscuity. Living for that moment, that sexual connection that's a temporary fullness, you know, that you, yeah, it's fine for that moment, but then you're left alone again and nothing was really accomplished. You are no closer to that person than you were a half hour ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, never knowing how to actually love, moving past that physical stage into an emotional bond.
Yeah. Well, in that video, and this is probably maybe I'm more sensitive to this because I'm a woman, I don't know. But like when she sleeps with that guy and then he kind of like leaves that money on the nightstand, I was like, oh, you know, it's just like feels so like just shitty. You know what I mean? And he leaves and she just looks like, fuck, you know. But if you feel like you don't have maybe that's the best means to make money or whatever it is, or at the moment you're doing what feels good. But it just like I was like kind of felt heartbroken for her after that happened. You know, I was like, oh, shit. So. Yeah. Kind of sad.
Yeah, don't sleep with men who look like the guy from Clockwork Orange for money. Yeah.
No, and I'm all about people doing, you got, you empower yourself to do what makes you feel good. But if it doesn't make you feel good, then it's like, it kind of makes me feel bad. You know, that guy looked creepy on top of it. Oh, gosh. Okay. I feel like everybody has to watch this video and then let me know what they think. When did you watch the video? Today?
Yesterday.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Yes. Right before I tweeted about Hugo not liking Alan Jackson videos, I'd watched that Lil Wayne video.
Okay. Okay. So it probably was.
That's the kind of Thursday I had.
Lil Wayne to Alan Jackson. Gotcha. Oh, goodness. And Hugo ain't a fan of that Alan Jackson.
At all.
That's crazy. No. I'm not really either, so it's okay.
Yeah, he doesn't like pop.
Okay, so then we have, for a second you were here, now you're over there. It's hard not to stare the way you are moving your body like you've never had love. And then he says, never had love again. So I don't know. I guess this to me is kind of like, oh, I don't know. I don't know how to say this without sounding mean, but I think like there's a lot of women that are like very attention seeking, you know, like, and this is going to sound bad, but even at my daughter's age, like, you know, her friends are like 11 to 13, let's say. And I can already tell the ones that are just very like want the boy's attention, like so much more, you know, that it's, there's something that they're just like dying to. And I think, you know, all girls, as you're growing up, you want that, but there's some that'll go about it in ways that I'm like, you're wearing like a midriff shirt, you're 12, you know, and I just, but I don't know, like, I know some of them, maybe there's a reason I believe that they're that way, but I just think sometimes it turns into people using, you know, their body for attention that just isn't positive. So what you got?
This, for a second you were here, now you're over there. What is that? I don't know if it's highs and lows or just physically you're moving to different places. I'm not sure what he's trying to accomplish there.
Yeah.
But it's hard not to stare the way you move in your body. Like, he's, on one hand, acknowledging that this behavior isn't healthy, while at the same time saying, hey, you know, I like the way you're moving. I can't help but look myself.
Yeah.
Like, I am contributing to this problem. So be it.
Well, and I think that's part of it, right? Because whenever it's kind of like even when you have a toddler, you know, when they, some kids, if you, they'll do bad things and get spanked, but they're cool with it because they're getting attention. You know, it's kind of like even negative attention. If they're not getting attention at all, you know what I mean? Then they're cool with like, well, I'll throw my head back, throw a fit, but you're going to come hold me. So it's, I mean, it's kind of that same idea to me. So not that I'm a parenting expert. That's just...
Oh, if there's one thing we've proven here on Songs of Friends, we are not experts at anything.
Yes. All right. You good there?
I'm good.
I love that you really, I know you don't like this song, but it's okay. All right. So then where are we at? When you were just young and your looks were so precious, but now you're grown up, so fly, it's like a blessing, but you can't have a man that look at you. Hold on a second. You can't have a man look at you for 5 seconds without feeling insecure or being insecure. Man, I really messed that up. So, it's the same deal. You know what I mean? She's in, I just think as being a woman, I can relate to that a little bit, I guess, at times where, I don't know, insecurity, I guess, kind of creeps into a lot of girls when you're growing up and, you know, in life. I don't know. I guess I didn't feel it too much, but I have a lot of friends that really were like always stressing about like what they look like, what boys thought about them, you know? And to me, this I usually am a big fan of like the father-daughter relationship. Obviously it's positive, but I think for me, it was like my mom was just not one of those type of women. And so a lot of times I was like, that's not important. You know, like my mom didn't really wear a lot of makeup and she didn't like, she was very minimalist about just everything, her hair, her makeup. And she always was like confident and didn't care about that kind of stuff. And so I feel like I had a better example of that. And I don't know, I feel like that's something I do try to give my daughter. But oh, you're yawning after you slept 5 hours.
I slept 2 hours.
I'm just kidding.
Now, not knowing the context of the video, this part really kind of threw me. I listened to this song in the car for the first time last week. Like, when you were just a little young and your looks were so precious, I'm like, all right, this is veering toward like molester territory.
You were gonna say that. Jeez,
like, what is? But that, you know, that is that part of the video where all of a sudden there's the weird stepdad here undoing his pants. I'm like, what the fuck is happening here? But yeah, now you're growing up so fly like it's a blessing. But it, there are people, I think women in particular, who develop very young. Like you some get used to that attention. I've mentioned a girl on this podcast before who, when we were in seventh grade, she had like D cup breasts. Just couldn't imagine, you know, the pitfalls that come with having that so early.
Yeah.
And, you know, grown men, you know, maybe not knowing she's 12 or 13, just leering at her. I couldn't imagine the almost a fear in the back of your mind at all times.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I feel like I get that with my daughter sometimes. And I'm like, she's like 12. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, we'll go somewhere. They're like, someone's talking to her or saying something. And I'm like, I know she doesn't really look, but it's like, I don't know. It just bugs me. You know what I mean? But they don't know either, you know? So it's like, it's just like a weird situation. So I'm like, it's very awkward.
Yeah. I used to say that it's a miracle that guys are like 19 years old don't end up in prison more often. Because you do have women that like are walking around and you don't know, like, are they 15? Are they 25? Like, can't call it.
Yeah.
So I would not approach anyone that I did not actually know for that reason. I'm like, I am not going to get my ass arrested.
Yeah.
Because Shorty was lacking the attention and didn't want to produce an ID. All right, I am not doing it.
That's why you kind of try to date people like, oh, I've gone to school with them. I've known them.
Oh, exactly. Oh, you came
here. You know what I mean?
You came here with them. They can vouch for you. Great.
Yeah. Yeah, because that is – no, it is a thing. And I mean, girl, you know, kids on – I mean, I know I had friends when I was in high school that lied about their age when they met an older guy. You know what I mean? And it is kind of, because at the same time, that something like that can ruin your life, you know, like flat out. So, you got to be like, show me some ID. Like, you know, that's crazy. All right. You ready?
I am ready.
All right. So then he has, you never credit yourself. So when you got older, it seems like you came back 10 times over. Now you're sitting here in this damn corner looking through all your thoughts and looking over your shoulder. And, you know, so I think it's just, I mean, obviously, after going through some shit in life, I don't know. Actually, I think that you never credit yourself thing kind of stuck out to me in this song, because it's like when you don't feel good about yourself and maybe you grow up thinking you're worthless or whatever the case may be, because having stuff like that happen to you, like someone touching you in a way that is inappropriate or rape you or whatever, I mean, that doesn't make you feel good or valued. And it oddly makes women feel shame, even though they didn't, you know, do anything. And it's like, so I'm sure just, you know, sitting there just looking back the shit you've been through, I mean, it's hard, can be hard to find a way to be like happy or positive, you know, going forward in your life. So what you got?
And oftentimes women that are skilled in other areas, you know, whether it be intelligence or, you know, some talent, you know, maybe may not feel validation for that. Sometimes in their mind, the only positive reinforcement they've gotten is from physical attributes or sexual attributes. Mm-hmm. Or so sometimes feeling like, hey, you know, I'm more than just this, you know, that can weigh heavy on a person.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. And this is like kind of a silly, you know, kind of silly example. But I always notice, like, if I leave work and I go somewhere, so I'm dressed nice, like the way I go to the work and get paid to dress, you know, like, and I go to a store or something like that, people are so much more like attentive and will like greet me. And like, if I asked for help, I'd feel like it'd be much more courteous versus like Saturday Kelly, maybe who's like hair in a bun, you know, leggings. Like, I mean, I do think, you know, a fact of life is your outside appearance does impact the way the world treats you, you know, and, sometimes it's negative, obviously. And so it is hard because I think as a woman, you'll see like, oh, well, that, you know, even when you're growing up in like high school, you'd be like, wow, that girl's pretty. She gets attention and she may not even be that good of a person or cool to be around, but it's like she's hot, you know? And so I think sometimes it can give girls the wrong message of like, well, it's more important to be beautiful than smart or funny or whatever, you know? So it's kind of sad. But the right guy will like you the way you are. That's my message. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, yeah, it's a good message. Value yourself.
Yeah, that's true. Because okay, so then we got a lot of this is repeating, right? Sometimes you catch me where I say it's repeating and it's not. But these next three sections are all the same. Okay, we've done. So we got you've had a lot of dreams that transformed to visions. The fact that you saw the world affected all your decisions, but it wasn't your fault. Wasn't in your intentions to be the one talking to me, be the one listening. So I was a little bit like, ooh, I'm a little bit confused, which is horrible. But I was like, well, I mean, again, I just think it's not the way she saw her life to be, you know, so it's hard. But I think at the same time, anybody can make, like I feel like I throw my brothers under the bus a lot on this show, but like I have a brother who was in jail and he was an addict and like, he's awesome, you know? And I think he went through shit and maybe a little bit older than he should have before he kind of got his life on a better track, but like, it's possible. You don't have to think, well, shit, I'm 40. Fuck it. I'm just going to live this way forever. You know? Cause I think like, on the other hand, I have family members that are addicts that it's just like, fuck it. This is who they are. I'm never going to make a difference. And I think it's, you know, it's sad because you can really make a difference no matter how old you are. But
yeah, I was talking to a guy last week at work who was asking me questions. He's one of our officers. He's asking me questions about the process of becoming a nurse and what nursing school is like and things of that nature. And he had said, oh yeah, you know, I think I'm getting a little too old, but I wouldn't mind giving it a shot. And I'm like, dude, you're 23, 24 years old. Like,
oh my God, take me back to that. Yeah.
Like, if you have an idea of what you want to do now, by all means, go do it.
Yeah.
You know, I thought I started late, and I was 28 when I went back to school. But when I got there, there were quite a few women in their 40s and 50s who had been homemakers, and now their kids are out of the house, so they needed something to do. So they decided to become nurses. There was one guy in there who was straight up like an old retired guy who was just there to fuck everything up and get in our way, but...
Did he graduate?
I don't know. If he did, it was after I left.
I thought that was kind of like you know, went through all that together for some reason. I don't know.
No.
Well, no, because my one friend, like, her dad went to law school when he was 35. Like, I'm sure he already had his bachelor's maybe or something. You know what I mean? But that's cool. Like, to think that you'd be 35 and be like, you know what? I'm going to be an attorney. Like, that's not something that... You know, I'm not saying, hey, when you're 45, maybe not going to be a surgeon might be kind of crazy because of debt and then the time. But I mean, I think that was when she told me that one day, I was like, that's freaking cool. Like that he was like, fuck it, I'm going to still do what I want to do. I don't care if I'm 35. So
I like this line here. The fact you saw your world affected all your decisions. I think seeing the world is kind of a silly way to put it. But the fact that she saw what types of people are out there skewered her decision making. I'm a big time advocate of getting away from your immediate surroundings and seeing the bigger picture. Everybody that I grew up with, you know, was just not great people. And I was very fortunate to get a hospital job at age 18 and be exposed to different types of people and even different parts of town, you know, to see how other people lived. As far as I knew, as good as it got was a factory job. Like, that was a best case scenario. You know, not shitting on factory jobs. It's a great way to make money. But I had no idea there was any other outlet. You know, had I not stumbled upon that job when I was so young and seen many different types of people and people living a better way of life, you know, I probably would have never known.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and a lot of people, I'm not saying this about your parents. I'm not. A lot of people I know, though, whose parents, like, they don't tell their kids they could have more, or like, I don't know if it's because they don't know or they don't want them. I can't think it's because they don't want them to be anything better. You know what I mean? But it's like, it's just that whole thing. Like I had friends that I grew up with that, you know, did crystal meth with their parents and we were like 16. I'm like, what's happening? You know what I mean? Like that's wild to me as being a mom. Like I want my daughter to be like everything I didn't have, you know, or anything that I can do to make her life better. Like that's my goal in life, you know? So, it's really crazy to me. And I don't know where a lot of that mentality comes from, or, you know, I have a good job, but I want her to have a better job than I do, you know, or whatever it is that she wants to do to be happy. But I want her to be able to take care of herself, you know? And I guess that's something my mom always was on me about is like, you know, it's important that you can financially take care of yourself, blah, 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 you know? And so I guess that is something that I probably harp on my daughter about a little bit, but I want her to be able to stand on her own 2 feet. Cause you can't always count on someone else. That sounds mean.
No, I mean, my parents had that same ideology, but you know, neither one of them made it past ninth grade. So yeah. To them, me finishing high school, like I was already ahead of the curve.
Yeah. They were so proud of you probably.
Oh like, yeah. Amazing. It was crazy. Yeah. Like, isn't this like what you're supposed to do? Like finish high school.
Yeah.
But like, you know, I had a sister who, you know, did not cross that finish line. Not everybody makes it through high school. And, you know, I couldn't imagine trying to make it in the adult world of finding jobs without at least a high school diploma.
Oh my gosh. I think even for like 20 sums, it's like you'll read about people with master's degrees that it's still like, you know, I mean, they maybe can't find it. It's crazy like to think, yeah, I can't imagine either. Although, you know, I mean, I don't know. I'm not gonna bring that up on the show. Okay. We'll keep going. All right. So I got, yeah, this is interesting right here. Okay. So, but I admire your popping bottles and dipping just as much as I probably said that the way. Stop.
All right. One of you guys out there who is better at me at pulling audio drops, I need Kelly saying, but I admire your popping bottles and dipping. Please email that to ptbnsongsoffriends@gmail.com.
Stop it. Just as much as you admire bartending and stripping, baby, so don't be mad. Nobody else tripping. Stop it. And then he has, you see a lot of crooks and the crooks still crooks. So this part about the song I think is slightly weird, I guess. Well, I mean, I guess it's, hey, this is what I do to make money and you do what you do and we're cool with that or whatever, I guess. And, you know, I'm not talking bad about strippers. When I was growing up, I oddly knew a lot of girls that I went to high school with that were strippers after we graduated. But that whole lifestyle, I didn't know any of them that didn't, and it was turned out to be something healthy. I guess I'm just going to say it that way. I'm sure there are, I'm not trying to be, but every single one of them were in either like a bad situation relationship, but a lot of it was like drug related, you know? So, it's just, I think doesn't breed like a healthy environment for anybody to be in for the most part, but not saying I know there's exceptions, but I don't know. That's just like a whole weird, what you got?
It's funny you bring that up. We had in my high school, there was a local strip club that advertised 100 beautiful women and 3 ugly ones.
Stop it. That's what the sign said.
That was their slogan. Yes.
Stop, Kentucky.
And our security guard at the school was one of the ugly ones. Like, we all somehow knew that.
Oh, my gosh. Stop it.
But then the girl that was voted most attractive at our senior class also was stripping at that same strip club by the end of senior year.
Mm-hmm.
And the last I saw her was actually the WrestleMania weekend in Dallas, 2016, that would have been. Downtown Dallas, where to Alex. Somebody had sent me an article from back home, and she had been arrested for destroying a Motel 6 lobby. And
in Dallas?
No, in Louisville.
Oh, okay.
And her mugshot just, oh my God, she had been run through the ringer. She had some miles on her for sure.
Stop.
But she had syringes in her vagina when they arrested her.
Shut the fuck up, Steve.
No.
Well, wow.
So I get back to work, you know, a few days later, and the guy I'm working with is on the computer just kind of fucking around during downtime, and he pulls up that article.
Oh, Lord.
He says, oh, God. I would like to come home to that. I'm like, dude, I know people who at one time in their life would have given their right arm to come home to that.
That's so awesome. Well, it's sort of like that. I don't know exactly how he tweeted it. Lane tweeted something like, oh, you know, those popular guys in high school who now are like divorced with three kids. I can't remember what he wrote. But anyways, there is something very satisfying about people who thought they were like holier than thou in high school or so on top to not be there. And that's horrible. But I can say that. I'm friends with quite a lot of people I went to high school with on Facebook. And I'm like, oh my God, she's a train wreck. But and like you said, every single guy I probably knew in high school would have like, you know, cut an arm off to go on, you know, to sleep with her or whatever. But now you're like, oh my God. So I think sometimes that type of attention maybe just messes someone up. Oh no, that's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know what got her from point A to point B, but it was nothing good, I assure you.
It's like those before and after pictures of meth, or like, you know, it's like people don't change after the marijuana smoking, but then they have like 10 years of meth and they look like 40 years older or whatever. You ever seen those?
Yeah, I actually might have a picture of me and her together when we were like 16.
Oh my God.
I have to dig through the archives here at the home office to see if I can find
that. You should find it, and then we can take like a current picture of you and her mugshot, and we'll just like stick it together.
Oh Lord.
You have to find her on Facebook.
Yeah, she was on Facebook last I was on there, which would have been almost 2 years ago now.
Oh my God. Syringes in her vagina.
Yeah.
I guess she just thought when she got arrested that was like, they're not going to check here.
Oh, she was wrong.
Okay, so we have, we went to way. Okay, we got a couple, we're almost done. Okay, so these are repeating. And then he said, see, I just want you to know that you deserve the best. You're beautiful. And I want you to know you're far from the usual. That kind of ends it. So I don't know. I just, kind of said what I think, I guess, about the song. I just think it's important, you know, the environment we put our kids in, and then all of us, and then but like you said, what we choose to do when we grow up with that. Not everybody has to be, you know, I don't want to say a victim, but a victim of the circumstances they were raised in. But it kind of ends on a nice, I think that's a nice thing to think that someone thinks that you're not just a usual person and that you deserve the best. That's sweet, right?
Especially if you are in this train wreck portion of your life, you know, having an affirming voice there behind you. Lil Wayne thinks you're okay. Just get through it, and you'll be okay.
Stop it! Hey, the Lil Wayne stamp of approval. Oh God. Well, hey, and you know what? Though, seriously, if someone is in the train wreck part of their life, like sometimes I feel like, because I know people tell me a lot, Kelly, you're nice. But I always feel like, man, if someone is in the worst part of their life and someone's still letting them know, like, hey, you're, you know, try to see the good in what you are. Like, I want to tell people shit like that. So you guys ready to go outside?
Yeah, so why not go to break now with Hugo answering nature's call and the inspirational words of Lil Wayne to ride us out? We're going to pitch to JT and Chad, and then we'll come right back to talk about more songs with friends here on the Place B Nation Pop Feed.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place B Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceBNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place B Nation Wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place B Nation Pop Feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these current shows, plus archives of our previous podcasts over the past 8 years, as well by subscribing to our feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available at PlaceNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects and more. Be sure to support our site by using www.placetobination.com/Amazon while doing your online shopping. And be sure to join us at our forum at bigelow34.proboards.com for all sorts of wrestling, sports, and pop culture discussion each and every day, where you can make your voice heard. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceTobination.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
And welcome back to the second half of Songs with Friends. Now, before we talk about some of the more exciting shows here on the Place to Be Nation feeds, we have to start with a quick retraction. While we were at break, I looked up the news story about that classmate of mine, and it turns out she did not put the needle in her vagina, she put it in her ass. So, I'm sorry, I don't want to spread fake news like she spread real cheeks.
It also was not a Motel 6.
Oh, yeah, it was a Super 8.
Yes. Oh, my God, I'm dying.
So now that the corrections or detractions section is complete, let's talk about some of the other shows on the pop feed with a little something for everyone. Russell and Sam dish out about the classic Empire Records and a new 90s to nothing. Kelly, are you familiar with Empire Records?
Yes.
Where do you stand on that? Do you like it? Do you not like it?
I like it.
Yeah, I thought it was okay.
Yeah, I'm not like some people are very like, I don't know what the right word is, over the top about it, but I do like it, but I'm not like in love with it.
Yeah, my buddy Jared, who I finally met up with in Chicago, he is real big on this movie. And I'm like, yeah. Dude, yeah, whatever, it's you. God bless you. I don't think it's bad, but I don't know that I've ever watched it all in one sitting.
Oh, that means for you it's not good.
And then in this month's Talkin' Pop, Jenny and Tim welcome in JT to relive the magic of WrestleMania weekend in New York City. Now, I've got a little bit of umbrage with our friends Jenny and Tim here. This is two shows in a row that feature extended marijuana segments.
Oh.
It's an interesting listen. JT trying to navigate the streets of New York City as the edibles are kicking in was, man, it's a hoot. Ben Morse and Russell Sellers talk the first half of 1970 in a new Marvel Age Masterclass. Adam and Andrew deliver in-depth playoff previews on a dual offering of the NBA Team podcast. Todd Weber and Tim Cable look at the Uncanny X-Men number 136 and more in this episode of Conversation Comics. The hard-traveling fanboys review Shazam. Cowboy and D'Amato, the most interesting man in the world, are back in the saddle with a new This Week in Sports, and they catch us up on everything since the Super Bowl. What the
I
fuck?
Loved it. I loved it. I listened to it.
I love that the show's This Week in Sports, and they cover 3 months worth of material.
Oh, that's a good point. I think they're just coming back for the, you know, but I enjoyed both of their sports takes, which I'm very excited. So it was awesome.
Oh, good. Todd welcomed JT into Binge Please as they talk about the Netflix Marvel Universe and Daredevil Season 1. And Todd also joined Andy Atherton to talk Swingers in the third episode of Laugh-In Theater. And a quick reminder that a new contest is being held over on Looking Forward, Looking Back. We will be doing a summer movie wager based on how well you think you can predict how the summer's movie releases will do at the domestic box office. Again, that's the domestic box office only. What you need to do is pick your top 10 movies in order of how you think they will finish in domestic box office gross. You will also need to include 3 wildcard picks as well as which movie you think will be the biggest bomb of the summer. Send your picks to lflbpop@gmail.com. That is lflbpop@gmail.com by Monday, April 22nd, which is probably when this show is going to drop. So if you're hearing this, get those picks in quick. Any movie that is released on or after April 26th is eligible, with the tally ending on Labor Day, September 2nd of 2019. The winner of the contest gets to be on a future episode of Laugh-In Theater and pick the comedy movie of his or her choosing. And then over at the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, the premiere episode of Making Towns with Friends. I joined my good, close, personal, longtime friend, Rich Fan, as we explored what could have been if a Money in the Bank match had occurred at every WrestleMania since inception. Rich and I went back to 1985, and we picked someone who was an active member of the WWF/E roster at that time, and we went through some fantasy booking scenarios. We had a lot of fun with that. JT and Scott were joined by Todd Weber for episode 517 of the Mothership, The Place to Be podcast, and they broke down the March 1989 Madison Square Garden house show. And then JT and Chad returned with a new Wrestling War Zone as they finish off 1995 with a discussion about Starrcade. Also, a fun little conversation that was cracking me up in Target when I was listening to this about WCW having 7 wrestlers of Japanese descent on one show and running out of Japanese-sounding entrance music to play for each of them was a fun little sidebar discussion. Check out our social media pages and message board at www.bigelow34.proboards.com. That's right. Message boards are making a comeback, damn it, and we're behind it.
Oh my gosh, I've never partaked in that.
Sign up, Kelly. You don't want to miss out on this conversation. You can look up information on joining our GWWE pay-per-view and TV, greatest WWE pay-per-view and TV match ever project. Get in on the conversation today and start researching your list, because I know if there's anything Kelly is going to partake in, it is watching WWF matches from 1988 for this project.
Yes, I'm in. No, that network has let me down. I don't know how you
guys. That is right. You try to relive the Becky Lynch controversy.
I'm a party of one on that. I know Ben agrees with me, but I think that's about it.
Kelly is taking a hard stance against the man, and it's kind of breaking my heart here, guys. I can't lie.
You'll get over it.
And lastly, be sure to check out placetobenation.com as things are back up and running there with plenty of projects and reviews to come. Content will be picking back up in the days and weeks ahead now that we are back from Mania season and everybody is allegedly sober. Speaking of allegedly sober, that brings us... Well, first, wait a minute. Before I segue into the song, let's talk about candy.
I forgot. Okay.
Now, the candy tournament is just about over. We're recording this, little peeky behind the curtain. We're recording this on Friday night. The candy tournament is poised to end on Sunday, so this probably won't drop before the end of the tournament. We're down to Reese's Cups and Starburst, which I am anticipating Reese's in a landslide.
I kind of anticipated that from the start.
However,
but
I recently received a package in the mail with various chocolates from deep in the heart of Texas that were sent by an anonymous donor. Now, I think the Texas part is important for the telling of this story. So in this package were the aforementioned Mambas that I was not able to find locally. They were okay. They were, you know, kind of a like gimmick Starburst.
Can I tell you, like, oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm just saying they were okay. Like some unique flavor combinations. I was a big fan of the coconut. But then also included were 3 chocolate bars. 2 of these bars were very clearly marked as being some sort of spice component. One of them straight up said red pepper flakes in the ingredient list. And I'm like, yeah, fuck this. I'll deal with this later. But the third one just had like a picture of a pig on the wrapper. I'm like, all right, yeah, like I'm going to pig out on this one. This is good shit. I unwrap it and notice that it's a pink bar. So I'm thinking, all right, you know, maybe it's like a strawberry kind of gimmick. I don't know. And I'm eating it and something just tastes off about it. I couldn't figure it out. So I found the ingredient list, and there's fucking bacon cooked into this chocolate bar. I finished it, but not just could you taste bacon, but there's like bacon grease present. Not a fan of that.
I've never had it, so I don't know.
Now the other two, the spicy ones were okay. They weren't overbearingly spicy in eating them, but they left like a weird after effect. Like, I could tell that some sort of pepper had been in my mouth. Pause.
Oh.
Yeah, but they did not hinder my enjoyment of the product. And that is Steve's Texas Candy review for this week.
Well, you know, should have had the peanut brittle, but you know.
Yeah, the one was called Bronco Brittle. Allie, oh man, this is like a great NXT wrestler name, Bronco Brittle. But that was the one that had the red pepper flakes in it.
Oh, okay.
And the other was some kind of wild chili thing that was, it was okay. Probably would have gone better with some peanut butter, but I am out of peanut butter, so I was unable to experiment.
Okay. Well, and I have to say, I had never had the tropical Mambas.
Oh, they were delicious.
I just had never had them till recently. So anyways, yes, I had always just had the other ones growing up. So.
Alrighty. Well, we're going to move on now to on down to Nashville, if you will.
Oh my God. You like country music a lot more than you like to say, Steve.
Now, I am finding that I am enjoying more of this early to mid 90s era. Like way more than I expected to, and I think a lot of it is they are really like telling stories. Like it's wild to go back and listen to some of this, like the fucking Alan Jackson trying to get laid and having a snow cone. Like that was so out of left field.
Is it? No, I'm just kidding.
It made me explore what else was happening back then, and it led me to this. From the 1996 fantastic album title, Did I Shave My Legs for This?
That's an awesome title.
Yes, it is. later lampooned by Cletus T. Judd with Did I Shave My Back for This? This is Strawberry Wine by Dina Carter. Now, I picked this song because a funny thing happened in Louisville, Kentucky around 1993. When the Bon Jovi, Guns N' Roses, big hair, Skid Row types disappeared from the music scene. Most of the dads in our area did not transition smoothly into the grunge era. What happened was they adopted this newfangled, more poppy type country music instead.
That is so fascinating.
I think they just followed the mullets.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, you got it.
That is as good of a theory as I can come up with.
Fair enough.
So I was exposed to a lot of this music back then. And as such, I've just kind of been humming a lot of these songs ever since 1994 or so.
My goodness.
And this is one that stands out because it is a big time karaoke night jam here in the greater Louisville, Kentucky area. You cannot get away from this song if you try to. And in hearing it on the radio a few weeks ago, I thought, holy fuck, this is problematic as can be. Let's talk about this on the show. And here we are.
I did not know this was a karaoke staple song. Very fascinating.
Oh, yes, it is. I mean, there are many. I'll have to make a list for you because we're already going kind of long on this episode. So we start with, he was working through college on my grandpa's farm. I was thirsting for knowledge and he had a car. What?
Oh, my.
So, all right. We don't know how old she is at this point. We're assuming she's pretty young because all it takes to lure her away is the fact that this college kid has a car, and she presumably does not. Anything you want to add to that, Kelly?
Well, yeah, and I think it's probably, in my mind, she's like 16 or something. And so then this, I'm not like you. I'm thinking this is another person her age that has a vehicle. So it's quite fascinating, you know, because when you, a car. Car is like such freedom. So if someone has a car, it's like, let's go. But maybe it is an older person. We'll see.
I was caught somewhere between a woman and a child.
Oh.
When one restless summer, we found love growing wild. See, if she had Lil Wayne telling her that she was beautiful and she was worth something, she wouldn't
that's
be here.
Right. That's right. You really are reading that. You read that really creepy.
That's a creepy ass song.
Oh, my God.
On the banks of the river, on a well-beaten path. My God. It's funny how those memories, they last. So, all right. So, he's got a car, right? And they're feel a hot and heavy in the summer months. A lot about living and a little about love, as we've established.
That's what was going on.
And he drives her to the banks of the river on a well-beaten path. He drives her to a secluded area. What the hell is happening here, young man?
What is going on?
Like, go ahead.
Hopefully it's not an older man. That's all we're hoping at this point.
Oh, no, he is older because he is in college, working through college. And as we're about to learn, like strawberry wine in 17, the hot July moon saw everything.
Okay, so 17, so he can be over 22, hopefully, 21.
Depending on the state that they're in, they may or may not be breaking laws here.
Oh.
The hot July moon saw everything.
Oh my gosh. I'm sorry, I just caught that. Go ahead, sorry.
My first taste of love, oh bittersweet, green on the vine, like strawberry wine. So there are a few different scenarios here that could be happening. First off, that July moon saw everything. Titties, ass, dick balls. Like, it was all just out there. On the well-beaten path, on the banks of the fucking river.
They're just out where anybody's going to find them.
Way down yonder on the goddamn Chattahoochee.
It's probably playing in the background.
That's right. The Alan Jackson skated by in his boots and jeans on his skis while they were fucking outside.
Alan Craxton.
All right. My first taste of love, oh bittersweet. Like, was it not good? Like, did he possibly exit early?
I don't think go ahead.
Or was it painful? Like, he's in college. I'm assuming he's been here before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
To lead us to the next line, green on the vine. Did he have an STD?
Oh, my God. Steve. That did not even enter this brain over here.
It shouldn't have entered anything until he saw a doctor and got some penicillin.
That is so disturbing. Oh, shit.
All right. Now, scrolling on down here. I still remember when 30 was old. My biggest fear was September when we had to go. I looked it up. In 1996, Dina Carter turned 30 years old. So she's coming from a place of personal experience here.
Whoa, this is like, yeah.
She was born in 1966. I got confirmation on that. I called my good close personal friends at the Social Security office to investigate.
You're going to get someone losing their job today.
That's right. A few cards and letters and one long distance call. She had to call 1-800-COLLECT to talk to her college dude.
That term, like, when I was watching the video, she's like, one call. One.
Yes. One fucking call.
One call. Like, it's a little bitter. Like, that's not shit. I know long distance back then wasn't, like, free, but that's some bullshit. One call, that's ridiculous.
And, like, she didn't want her grandpa to know that she was fucking the help. So, like, she went to like, the town market with a pocket full of quarters. Just feverishly pumping those bitches into the payphone.
She couldn't use the family pay card or whatever. We had one of those. I guess not everybody.
No, I'm not even familiar with this concept.
Never mind. Oh, God.
We drifted away like the leaves in the fall. But year after year, I come back to this place just to remember the taste.
Oh, my.
Of strawberry wine and possibly dick.
Hey, yeah, maybe.
So then we have something that really made me gasp when I heard this yesterday.
Oh my gosh.
The fields have grown over now. Years since they've seen the plow.
Oh my God. Stop it.
Now, she could be talking about the farm. She could be talking about her untouched vaginal region. Things have grown over now. The pubic situation's out of control.
You got to clean that up and get back in the game.
Years since they've seen the plow. Nobody has plowed this woman since she was 17 years old.
This woman is gorgeous.
Dina Carter is like a confirmed dime. Absolutely.
She's gorgeous. Like, I was watching it, I was like, you know, little like skinny for my type of woman or whatever. She's gorgeous. Like, she's gorgeous.
Now, I'm sure like she's like married and shit, and her poor husband is just watching her sing her heart out about that time she got fucked by that college guy when she was 17.
But they're probably still making money off that song. I'm just kidding.
And he just has to go home and know that he's never going to be enough.
Oh my God, this is hilarious. I really have hesitated to bring this up on this show.
Okay.
But like the first time that I had sex, I drank Boone's Farm. Strawberry Boone's Farm.
So. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Strawberry Boone's Farm?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
But not related to the song. I didn't listen to this. You know, actually, what year was this? Am I not? Yeah. So anyways, just kind of, I was thinking about that when I heard this song. I was like, oh, God, that's horrible. That's just what we could. I don't know why that's like what was available that day, because that wasn't something I drank very often as a, you know, I don't know, teenager, I guess. But yeah, this was the alcohol that contributed.
Strawberry Boone's Farm. That doesn't have the same ring to it.
No. So, you know. Yeah.
And then we close with, is it really him or the loss of my innocence? I've been missing so much.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, she doesn't know if she really misses the guy, that long-lost love, or just the way it felt to be carefree. getting fucked on the banks of the Mississippi River.
But, I mean, if this was just kind of like, this is going to be cheap. Like, if your first time was with someone and it was just sort of like a short-term thing or like a fling, that's kind of, you know, that's probably not that. Like, I was in a long-term relationship, you know, so it was like a little bit different, I guess. But maybe it wasn't, maybe she felt kind of used.
You know, I too was in a long-term relationship, which ended briefly, you know, several days before Mark McGwire hit 62, as we previously chronicled here.
Oh, Tara.
I still want to try to get her on the show. I want to try to make that happen.
Yes, me too.
All right. So we're going to transition away from that uncomfortable topic to another uncomfortable topic. Because now it is time to pick our songs for next week. And as is tradition, this week Kelly went first. Next week it will be me. And I am going with a rare listener request. This is a callback to the very first bit of social media feedback we got when we recorded show number one. Before I was even awake the next morning. Stacey O'Loughlin had commented on how much she enjoyed the debut episode. And when you ride with us from the beginning, damn it, you get preferential treatment on this show. So she put in a DM request this week. She wants us to review C'est la vie as performed by Bewitched. So that is what we're going to do on episode 26.
Oh, I'm so glad you picked that. Okay. I'm going to mess up this last name because I do not know why, but I love this song. So we're going to do Torn by Natalie Imbruglia. How do you say her last name? I'm sorry.
I think it's Imbruglia.
Imbruglia? Yeah. Sorry. It's kind of throwing me off today. But that's my pick.
Well, rock on. Those of you who want to follow us on Twitter, you can do so at PTBN_songs. Don't forget to follow our good friends at Place to Be Nation at Place Number 2 Be Nation for updates as well. Be on the lookout for another Making Talents with Friends here in the next few weeks. I've already got my second and third show ideas in the can. It will be kind of an irregular show, but if you like this, you'll probably like that. So please join us for some wrestling talk. RASSLIN, that's wrestling. For Kelly, I'm Steve, and we will try to do better next time.